You have your Bibles, and lastly, this being the last session, I'd ask you to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll look at two verses. We'll look at verses 13 and verses number 14 there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. We have talked about, over these last several sessions, we've talked about the heart of a leader, the hands of a leader, the head of a leader. And to finish off, I want to talk about the habits of a leader. The habits of a leader. The habits of a leader ought to be the matter of their strength through Christ and how they serve. And how they serve their home, their families, and how they serve their community. And to see the need and to grow spiritually mature in our accountability and our endeavors to be able to continue to spread the gospel, not just here, but around the world through missions. And there's three things that I see that the Bible talks about to be the man of God that we need. We understand it's a fight and it's a battle. The Bible very clearly teaches us that we have an enemy, the devil. The Bible talks about that that's a fight that will never end this side of heaven. We'll constantly be in a struggle with the opposition of wickedness and of Satan and all that's coming and fighting against us and the truth of the Word of God. And it's a fight. And I'm not so foolish as to think that from this point on, we'll all be on a mountaintop. There's going to be several of us that are going to go through valleys. There's going to be several of us that are going to go through struggles. There's going to be several of us that are going to go through things that we don't understand. Why has God allowed me to go through this when I had told Him that I would be the man He wanted me to be and that I would lead like Jesus? So why am I having to go through these things? Why am I having to suffer through these things? And there's some great truths I want us to be able to see in the man and to the Word of God to encourage all of us, I hope, in this last session to be the man of God God's called us to be and to be able to lead like Jesus. The first thing I see is here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth and he's encouraging them and he's closing out his letter here, 1 Corinthians, to the believers there in Corinth. In verses 13 and 14, he says something to them. I'd like you to follow along with me if you would. Verse 13, Paul says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity." The first thing that I see that I want to encourage all of us, no matter where you're at, whether you're on a mountaintop or whether you're in a valley, is what Paul writes here, is we need to be men who are valiant. We need to be men who are strong. It's easy to be strong on the mountaintops. It's easy to be strong when things are in our favor, things are going our way. It's easy to be strong. Sometimes we as men can mask true emotions of what we're going through because the world has taught us that it's not manly to show emotions. It's not manly to admit defeat. It's not manly to be broken. That we as men ought to have everything figured out. We ought to be able to stand strong. But the Bible teaches totally different than that. That sometimes we as men, we have to be broken. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to not have the answer. You and I as men don't have to have the answer to everything. It's okay to break down. It's okay to understand that we are weak and we are feeble at times. But Paul here encourages these believers, and he says to them this. The first phrase he says, "Watch ye." He's not talking physically watching through the eye, the physical eye, when he tells them to watch. When you study that word here, it means to have a spiritual awareness, alertness of what's going on around us. To spiritually be able to see what's happening around us from the battles that we fight to the needs that are there. He says, watch. He says, have a spiritual alertness about you to what's going on in the world that we're living in. And to be alert and to be knowledgeable and to be understanding in that and to be valiant. He says, watch you. And then he says this. He says, stand fast. And that phrase, stand fast, means this. He means, as it said a while ago, it means to persevere or to be stationary. Paul says, he says, watch. He says, have a spiritual alertness about you as you go forward in your life. Have a spiritual alertness for those that you and I have the responsibility to lead, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our church, our community. He says, watch, have that spiritual alertness. He says, but then stand fast. He says, persevere. He says, be stationary. That word persevere means this. He says, it's not going to be an easy ride. There's going to be times that you get knocked down. There's going to be times, understand some folks, guys, there's going to be times that we fail. Even after we make a decision and surrender to God, we're going to fall. We're still flesh. But that's why he said this. He said, watch. But then he said, stand fast. Understand, a beautiful picture is this. When I fall to the ground, I've got a choice. I can either stay on the ground and feel sorry for myself, or I can do what Paul said. I can feel sorry that I made the wrong decision. Maybe I said the wrong thing. Maybe I treated my wife the wrong way. And I can fall spiritually. But Paul says, don't stay there. Paul says something here. He says, stand fast. What Paul says is this. He said, you lean upon your God. You lean upon Him and you allow Him to pick you back up as much as it hurts. He said, and you stand up and you stand fast and you persevere and you keep going. You don't quit. When you go home and try to lead your wife correctly and she doesn't receive it well, don't quit. You keep leading the way God has told you to lead and do what you're supposed to do. Don't get knocked down and quit. He said, stand. He said, watch and stand fast. But look what he says. Stand fast in what? Not in our knowledge, not in our power. Stand fast in what? In the faith. Stand fast in your persuasion, your confidence of who God is, that He will never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. Now, He can give you victories in these areas that maybe you're stumbling in that you don't see. You say, there's no hope with my marriage. There's no hope with my child. But may I assure you this. Listen to me, gentlemen. With God, there's always hope. I've watched God take broken marriages, that the papers had already been signed in a divorce court, and I've watched God fix that. God can do all things. He's all-powerful. He said, I want you to watch. He said, I want you to stand fast, what? In the faith. And then he says something that if you and I don't understand it, it seems a little contradictory here. He says, and quit you like men. He said, why would he tell us to quit? You have to understand what the meaning here is. The meaning here, when you look at this, when he says, quit you like men, what he's saying is it's time you start acting like a man. That's what he means there. He says, when you quit, you like men, you know what Paul said? He said, men of the church, it's time you start acting like the men. It's time you start being the leaders and the men of God God's called you to be. Quit making excuses. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit feeling like you're in this all alone. Paul said this. He said, have a spiritual alertness. Watch. He said, then stand up and get up. Paul, sometimes I think he wrote things and he understood. Have me understand that sometimes we need a spiritual slap in the face to wake us up. And I think Paul had to tell the men there at Corinth, now, fellas, it's time that you start up and stand up and start acting like a man. Stand up and be the man of God He's called you to be. Quit making excuses. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit molly grubbing. Quit putting it off on somebody else. And here's what he said. Stand up and be a man. That's what he said to these men in this church. You be the leader at your home, he said. You be the leader in your church. You be the leader in your community and be that man. And then he says this. Quit you like men. Start acting like men. And then what does he say? The last two words, what does he say? He said, be strong. He said, you stand up and you be strong. He's not talking about a physical strength and how much you can lift and how much weight you can lift. He's saying you be strong in the Lord. He said, you gentlemen, stand up. He said, you start acting like men. And he said, you be strong. You be strong in the power of who your God is. You understand this, that the mountains that you and I go out and see and the majesty and the power of those mountains was created by our Almighty God. Amen. He said, you be strong. He said, you stand upon the truth of the Word of God. You start acting like a man and you be strong. You lead your families with a faith in God. You lead your families with a strength standing upon the truth given into the Word of God. He said, it's time that you quit allowing the ladies and quit pushing your responsibilities on others and stand up and be a man. Amen. And be the man of God that He has called you to be. Then he says this, let all your things be done with what? Charity or love. Paul said this. He said, you can stand up, persevere, you can be strong, and you can act like a man, but you can also do it in love. You don't have to walk around with your knuckles dragging the ground, grunting every time you say something to prove that you're the man. You know what Paul said? Paul said, you can love and still be that man who is strong. You can love and still be that man that can stand and that can persevere. You don't have to beat your chest, like I said, swing around and tell your wife that you're the man of the house. Let me share something with you, fellas. If you have to tell your wife you're the man of the house, chances are you're not the man of the house. If you'll just simply live Jesus, I guarantee you she'll acknowledge you're the man of the house in the role that you have. If you act like Jesus and don't act like a fool in this. He said, act like a man. Stand and persevere, but he said, do it in love. He said, you can do it correctly. I would dare say this. Jesus was not a girly man in his ministry. I believe Jesus in his earthly ministry was very much a man's man. But yet Jesus was able to accomplish that in love as well. He didn't have to be hateful to get his point across. He didn't have to be rude to get his point across. He didn't have to be little to get his point across. Jesus was a man's man, but he did it in love. And I promise you this, if Jesus did that, you and I can too. Because if it would not so, it would not be in the Scriptures. But it's written in the Bible for you and for me. So we need to be valiant. We see here in these verses. I want you to go to Mark chapter number 6, verses 30 and 31. This is something that is so needed, but so few men do it. And it's this, the habits of a leader, strength and serving. We must be valiant. The Bible tells us this. Point number 2 is very important. It's the importance of rest. It's the importance of rest. Sometimes, men, we hang our hats on the fact that we work 18 hours out of a 24-hour day. Sometimes we as men, if we feel like we stop for longer than 10 minutes, we're being non-productive. You're going to see here that Jesus himself even realized the importance of rest for not just himself, but also for his disciples. Mark chapter number 6, I want you to look at verses 30 with me, if you would. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, but both what they had done and what they had taught. The disciples come to Jesus and said, Jesus, we've been doing this, we've been doing this, we've been going here doing this, and we've been teaching this, and we can do this, and we're doing this, and doing this, and doing this. And Jesus knew exactly what they needed. And look what Jesus says to them in verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart or down into a desert or a solitary place and rest a while. And that word rest is the word refresh. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat, or the opportunity to eat, because so many people were pressing upon them. Do you notice something here? The apostles gathered unto Jesus, and they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Jesus, we taught this, and we taught this, and we had done this, and we had done this. Do you realize Jesus never, in this passage, acknowledged what they had done? Jesus never stopped and said, guys, that's good. That's awesome. I'm proud of you. That's incredible. I sure am glad you guys are going full steam ahead, and I'm going as hard as you can. Man, Jesus never says that to these guys. Because why is that? Jesus knows every need. Jesus warned them, and he says something to them. He says, guys, I need you to draw away from the crowd, and I need you to come into the desert to a solitary place. And here's what he said, because you need rest. You need a refreshing. I can't tell you how many times I've watched a person get saved, and they start off on fire for God like they got shot out by a firecracker, witnessing to everybody, talking to everybody about the Bible. 6 months later, you can't even find them at church. They get to going and doing so much. And listen to me, there's nothing wrong with what we need to witness. But you need to understand that, folks, we're just flesh and we're just human. Our bodies need rest. Our physical bodies not only need rest, but you listen to me, our minds need that rest and that refreshing. Here's the thing. As a child of God, if you and I get going so busy that we feel like we have to work all 7 days a week, we've got to work 18-hour days so that we can prove we're a man and take care of all the things that we have that we think are going to bring us happiness and absolutely wear ourselves to a frazzle to where we can be absolutely ineffective for the cause of Christ and the work of Christ, then we are not doing anything. Because realize this, your job's not going to heaven with you. Your time card is not going to heaven with you. Your paycheck's not going to heaven with you. Your house isn't going to heaven with you. Your cars aren't going to heaven with you. I'm going to tell you what's going to heaven. The impact that you had here on earth, that's what's going with you. And sometimes, and here's the thing, I've watched, as I've seen some men who said they just keep on and keep on, and sometimes God has to stop them. Sometimes God has to get our attention and stop us because we won't stop ourselves. You don't know why? Because Jesus understood the importance of rest and refreshing. You and I cannot lead, fellas. Are you listening to me? We cannot lead. If I have a 24-hour day, we are going active 23 hours of that 24-hour day doing the same. Well, I'm doing this and doing this. Listen to me. The disciples, what they did was good. Jesus didn't rebuke them for what they did, but he sure didn't acknowledge them either. What did he tell them? You need to have some rest. So we hang our hats. I was the first one at church and the last one to leave. Sometimes that can be a pride issue too. Sometimes we need to understand what Jesus told his disciples was very, very important. He said, fellas, you need to rest. And notice what he said. He told them there, he said, don't rest here. Why? They didn't have an opportunity to eat, fellas. The Bible says because people were coming and going so often, they couldn't even stop to have lunch. Jesus says, I need you to go to a solitary place. I need you to go to the desert. Let me encourage you as a man of God to have a place for you, a solitary place. What I mean by that is to have your prayer closet. Have you a place in your yard? Have you a place in your home where only you go, and you go where you meet the Lord there? You don't take a cell phone with you. You don't take an iPad. You don't take anything with you. You just go with you and the Lord and you take the Word of God. And let me share something with you. You realize that sometimes some of the greatest prayers are not when you and I are talking. Some of the greatest prayers is when you and I just stop and listen. Sometimes God want you and I not to come and, God, I got to have this and feel like we have to talk for 30 minutes straight. Sometimes God would like to talk to us. And He talks to us through His Word. Sometimes some of the sweetest fellowship and refreshing that you'll get is just sitting at the feet of your Savior in a quiet place where nobody knows and you just sit with your Jesus. It can be outside, it can be in a room, wherever your quiet place is. Very often, fellas, we have to go to that place and rest. It's needed. But again, what the world has told us is as men, well, you got to work, you've got to work, you've got to work, you've got to work. And we will so beat our bodies that we're hurting so bad that we cannot do what God's asked us to do. So, Pastor, I'd love to come to neighborhood, to nations, and go door to door, but I can't walk anymore. Here's the thing, folks. Listen to me, guys. Sometimes we just have to rest in the Lord and do what we can do for Him. Do what we can do for Him. You see, you have to be valiant. You see the importance of rest and refreshing. It's not a place where you go with your wife. It's not a place you go with your children. It's a place where you go by yourself, just you and your Lord. And you talk to Him. You talk to Him just like you would talk to anybody. Real with Him and loving Him. Again, I'm telling you, some of the sweetest times I've had with my Jesus, Jordan, is when I just sat at His feet. Didn't say anything because I didn't know what to say. Some of the sweetest times when you can sit at the feet of your Savior broken. He may not know what to say, but the good news is that he knows. You and I don't have to say it because he already knows. But to have that place, that importance of rest. And then the last one, Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17. Proverbs 27:17 is a familiar verse, and you may have heard it before. But the habits of a leader is to be valiant, as he showed us in 1 Corinthians, to understand the importance of rest and refreshing that you and I need often, and the power of brotherhood, of iron sharpening iron. Proverbs 27, verse number 17, the Bible simply states here and says, iron sharpeneth iron. It makes iron sharp. So a man sharpeneth or alerts the countenance in the presence of his friend. The habits of a leader is this, is understanding iron sharpeneth iron. What is that? Understanding the importance of the community of brotherhood. I heard a story one time, I can't remember exactly what his little boy was praying. And he was scared, it was stormy outside, and his daddy came in there, and his daddy says, he said, son, Jesus is right here with you. He said, let's pray that Jesus is right here with you, he'll protect you. And they prayed, and dad went back to his room. The storm began to rage, he cried out for his daddy again, daddy, daddy. And daddy goes and sits in his room, he says, daddy, I'm scared. He said, son, Jesus is in here with you in the room. He said, let's pray. They prayed again. The dad left. Third time. Storm's getting worse. The little boy cried, daddy, daddy. And daddy comes and daddy said, son, don't you know Jesus is here? The little boy said this. He said, yeah, daddy, but I wanted Jesus with skin on him. The importance of brotherhood is very, very important, folks, that we have one another because iron sharpeneth iron. Sometimes, how many of you understand there's some things you can't talk to your wife about that maybe you can talk to your brother in Christ about that you can't share with your wife? The importance of brotherhood is so very important. The habit of the leaders, iron sharpeneth iron. You think this morning this, do I have men or brothers in my life who are holding me accountable to live like Jesus? Do I have men that I know love me and are watching me enough to hold me accountable and how I live this life? Are you doing this? Am I neglecting rest and leading to burnout and a lack of Christ-like character? I can't tell you how many pastors I've watched quit the ministry because they got burnt out. They didn't know when to stop and be refreshed and to rest. And they end up quitting and burning out. I've also seen church members do that as well. Or, how will I act like a man and do everything in love when I go home after this is all said and done? I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 11 with me in closing. This will be the last verse we look at for this 2026 men's conference. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, a very simple verse. Paul writes this, and this is my challenge to you and I after all we've heard of these past four sessions. Paul says this to those that he's writing to in Corinth. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul knew that his walk was right with his Lord so much so, Brother Tony, he was confident that he could say, be you followers of me, imitators of me. Why? Because Paul said, because I'm a follower and I'm a leader, I'm a follower of Christ. Wow. I pray that every one of our desires is the same thing that Paul says, that we want to lead like Jesus. Be the men of God that we can say, be followers of me and imitators of me. Why? Because I'm following Him. Be the husbands, be the dads, the grandparent, be the men of God God's called us to be. I have challenged every one of us here with the messages I believe the Lord has laid on my heart for this. We had an invitation on the very first night, and for purposely reasons, I haven't had invitations until right now. Because I want the word, I want the Lord to work on our hearts genuinely in this and give it time to sink in. But we're going to have a time of invitation. My challenge is to you is this. Are you the man of God God's called you to be? Do you lead like Christ leads? Or could you say, Pastor, I'm not the husband I should be. I'm not the church member I should be. I'm not the grandfather I should be. I'm not the man of God I need to be. I've told you this before, we can't go back and change the past. But thank God we serve a gracious God who says, don't worry about the past. You fix as we go forward and let's get this right. Our homes need it. Our church needs it. Our community needs it. Our wives need it. Our children and grandchildren need it. Well, let me remind you, most assuredly, you and I as individuals need it too. To be the men of God. God called us to be. I leave with you what Paul left with the Corinthian church there. When he says, quit ye like men, act like men, be strong. Don't be ashamed. How do you and I become a man of God? Almost everywhere it starts. With a heart that's broken and a knee that's bended is how you and I become the leaders we're called to be. It's a broken heart and a bended knee is how we become those men. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. This is the final invitation we give tonight, today. The challenge is to all of us here today to be the men of God God's called us to be. To not be ashamed, to not have the fear of man, but to have the fear of God. To fall upon our faces and to cry out to God and say, God, help me to lead like Jesus. Help me to be that man of God that we have seen in the Scriptures. Help me to be that bold. Help me to just stand upon the truth, to live with conviction and to lead with love.